If you've got your Bibles with you, I want to look at the book of Romans. We're going to look at Romans chapter 9. We're going to look at the first five verses of Romans 9, and then we will flip over and read the first verse of Romans chapter 10. So we'll start Romans 9, read the first five verses, and then we'll flip over and read the first verse of Romans 10. Romans chapter 9. Starting in verse 1, please hear this public reading of God's word. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. And then chapter 10, verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. So the Apostle Paul in chapter 9, verse 2, he says that he has great sorrow and unceasing anguish in his heart. And then verse 3, he says, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. So great sorrow, unceasing anguish. He says he could wish himself to be accursed. He knows it's not possible, but he said, if it were possible, I'd be willing to be accursed for my kinsmen according to the flesh. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, which we looked at in our Tuesday night Bible study, he says in verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 9, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. The Apostle Paul was passionately concerned to see people come to saving faith. He passionately wanted them to come to saving faith. He had great sorrow, unceasing anguish. He wanted to see people come to saving faith. So as we come to our time of confession today, one question we could consider would be, do we desire to see people come to saving faith? Do we strongly desire to see people come to saving faith? And do we ever feel sorrow over those who do not yet know the Savior? I think one way to at least answer the beginning of my questions, those first two questions, would be looking at Paul in chapter 10, verse 1. He says again, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. So the fruit of Paul's anguish and sorrow is that he desires that they would be saved and he prays that they would be saved. So as we think about our prayer life, this last week or this last month, how much time have we spent praying that people would come to know the Savior? What percentage of our prayers have been prayers that people would be saved? Is it 5%? Is it 10%? 15%? How much time have we spent praying that people would come to know the Savior? I want to end with a story from the life of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was an evangelist and preacher. God used him mightily in the 1800s. He lived in the 1800s. This story takes place in 1872. He and his wife went to England for a while, and Moody was attending a prayer meeting, and at that prayer meeting, there was a pastor of a church in London who asked Moody to come and preach at his church that Sunday morning service and the Sunday evening service. Moody was reluctant to go, but eventually he said he would come and preach. It came time for the Sunday morning service at this church, and he got up to preach. He opened the Word, and he began to preach the Word of God, and he said he felt like the room was spiritually dead and lifeless. People were not attentive to the Word of God. People were not paying attention as he preached the Word of God. He felt like he was beating against the air, and at the end he said he felt like he had preached, in his words, for a lost morning. I am sure that Moody was very discouraged after that sermon. It came time for the evening service at 6:30 that night, and it came time for Moody to preach, and he got up into the pulpit to preach, and it couldn't have been more radically different at this second service. People were attentive to the Word of God. He says, it seemed as if the very atmosphere was charged with the Spirit of God. They were attentive to the Word of God. They were leaning in. They were emotional as he spoke. They're taking notes. They're engaged. The Spirit of God is at work. This shows that it is God who is at work. He is using Moody, obviously, same congregation of the morning, but God is at work powerfully. And at the end of his message, he presented the gospel in some way. I don't know how he did it, but maybe he said that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Jesus humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. He died condemned in our place. If we would just turn from sin and trust in the finished work of Christ, we can be forgiven and have new life today. We can be covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ today. And he said, if you've never become a Christian and you'd like to today, would you stand so I can pray for you? And then something amazing happened. Almost everybody in the room stood up. And Moody was certain that they didn't understand what he had said, so he had everybody sit back down. And again, he repeated, if you're not a Christian, if you've never turned from sin and trusted Christ, would you stand up and head into the room next to the sanctuary? And almost the entire sanctuary emptied out into the other room. They had to bring in extra chairs into the other room. And Moody was still certain that they didn't understand what he had said. And again, he repeated himself in that room. And he said that he was going to pray for them, but he felt like it was better if they came back, met with the pastor, and the leaders of that church would sort this out the next day. So he prayed. He and his wife headed off the next day, but on Tuesday, word came to him that he needed to rapidly come back to that church because on Monday night, even more people showed up on Monday evening. So Moody hurried back, and over the next 10 days, Moody and the pastor and the leaders of that church met with people, and by the end of it, 400 people were converted. Absolutely incredible. But that's not the end of the story. Moody was certain that there had to be somebody praying behind the scenes. He knew there was somebody praying, so he began to investigate. And sure enough, there were people praying. There were two godly sisters, the Adlard sisters. They were members of this church. The younger sister in particular was the one who was really praying. She was bedridden and she couldn't even leave the home. This is what one biographer said. She couldn't leave home to tell others of the faith she held dear, but she could pray that faith would be given them all through the day. Each day, she kept at this task. She's praying hours every single day that God would bring revival to her church. She's praying hours every day, and she's praying, and she's praying, and she's praying, and she's praying, and she doesn't see anything happening. Then she reads about this evangelist, D.L. Moody, in the United States and all the work he'd been doing there. She had never even met Moody at that time. And she began to pray that God would send D.L. Moody to her church and that God would use Moody at her church. And she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. And can you imagine the joy of her sister as her sister sat there and saw Moody rise to the pulpit and began to preach. And she ran home and she said, Mary Ann, you're never going to guess who preached today. It was D.L. Moody. And she reached behind her pillow and she pulled out a newspaper clipping of Moody and she said, I know what that means. It means that God has heard my prayer. And they responded with joy and gratitude. And I guarantee that those two godly women gave themselves to pray that afternoon that God would use Moody. And then Moody gets up into the pulpit to preach, and he has no idea that these two godly sisters had prayed hundreds of hours for the people that he is about to preach to. And he stands up and he begins to preach, and the Spirit of God moves. Those two godly sisters, they could truthfully say with the Apostle Paul that their heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. So have we desired, strongly desired, to see people come to saving faith? And how much time have we spent praying that God would save people? I'll give you a few moments to pray silently and I will close us. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is, what a joy it is to gather with your people. It is a joy to sing with your people. Help us never to forget the privilege that we have to gather here and to sing with your people and to hear your word preached. And Father, we are so thankful for the example of the Apostle Paul. We are so thankful for his passion to see people come to saving faith. And we're so thankful for his prayer life, how he prayed that people would come to saving faith. But Father, as we think about our own prayer lives, we must confess that so often we are lazy when it comes to prayer. So often we do not pray as we should that people would come to saving faith. So often we aren't even sorrowful over lost loved ones. So Father, forgive us. Father, we are so thankful that you have cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. We are so thankful that there is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Father, I am thankful for godly examples in church history like those two godly sisters, the Adlard sisters, Father. What an example. Father, I pray that you would help us to imitate them in their prayer lives. Give us a greater passion to pray for lost people, especially for the young people, Father, that are over there in the nursery. I pray that we would pray for them, that they would grow up loving you from a young age. Father, I pray you'd be at work in this next song, that you would be glorified, that we would be stirred as we sing, and I pray that you would use Mark in a powerful way as he preaches. Help us to be attentive to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.